here last Wednesday night, we began a series of messages on Don't Get Stuck There. We want to continue that thought before we get into all the places that we can get stuck, which will be several weeks from now. We want to look at some ways to avoid getting stuck. In the last message, we preached on some biblical perspectives against getting stuck, and we took those thoughts from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where we saw that Paul lays down five principles that ought to shape our frame of mind. And our frame of mind has a lot to do with getting stuck or not getting stuck. So he lays down five principles that ought to shape our frame of mind. We see that in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 20 through 29. Just by way of review, the five principles we under all circumstances, we must remember, we must consider ourselves to be Christ's servants. Secondly, under all circumstances, we must always remember that we are the purchased possession of the Lord. And thirdly, under all circumstances, we are to abide with God. Fourthly, under all circumstances, we're to be faithful to the Lord. And then fifthly, the time for doing these things is very short. Paul then went on in 1 Corinthians 7 to apply these five principles to five different areas of our life. We see that these principles must be maintained in marriage. A lot of people have marital issues, and that's where they're stuck. They must be maintained in times of affliction. They must be maintained in times of joy. They must be maintained in all of our business affairs. And they must be maintained in all our worldly concerns, whatever they might be. Because you and I can get stuck anywhere. We can get stuck anywhere. We can get stuck at any time. And once we get stuck, spiritual progress has ceased. We cease to grow spiritually. But I do believe that if we maintain these principles in our minds, let these principles shape the frame of our mind in all circumstances and all situations, that will be a safeguard against getting stuck. He went on to say in verse 35 that he didn't lay down these principles as a snare to them, is something that would bind them and hinder them, but just the opposite. He laid down those principles for their profit. That is, for their own gain, for their own good, for their own advantage. And that this would make their lives comely. That is, it would bring honor to their lives. It would bring that which is proper into their lives, enabling them to diligently apply themselves to the Lord and the things of the Lord without distraction. When you get stuck, that's a distraction. That's a distraction from worship. It is a distraction from serving God. It is a distraction in everything spiritual when we get stuck somewhere. Doesn't matter where you're stuck. When you get stuck, it's a distraction. And in verse 35, he said that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. So what Paul is saying in these verses is, do not allow marriage, do not allow afflictions, do not allow joy, do not allow business, do not allow worldly concerns stand in the way of your spirituality. Do not let these things hinder you spiritually. Do not let these things hamper your relationship with God. In other words, he is saying, don't get stuck. Don't get bogged down so that you cannot serve God as you ought to. And again, the maintaining of these principles will keep us from getting stuck. And we saw that two ways we get stuck. Romans 6, verse 16, when we yield our bodies to sin, we become the servants of sin. You yield yourself to an emotion or whatever it is, you're going to get stuck. And we see in 1 Peter 2, or 2 Peter 2 in verse 19, when we're overcome by something, that's when we get stuck as well. Tonight we'd like to turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23. Book of Proverbs, chapter 23. And we'd like to read verses 17 through verse 19 of Proverbs 23. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. So in addition to these principles that Paul laid down, Solomon, in his wisdom, particularly in verse 17 and verse 19, it really goes further than verse 19, but we're only going to concern ourselves with verse 17 and verse 19 tonight. He speaks of an everyday course, an everyday course that we are to live in. And I believe this, along with those five principles, will prevent us from getting stuck in the quicksands of the world, in the quicksands of sin, in the quicksands of our own sinful flesh, and in the quicksands of Satan. So we want to speak tonight on the course to avoiding getting stuck. Notice, first of all, that this course is continual. Notice in verse 17, all the day long. All the day long. This seems very simple, but it is a truth that many of God's people have failed to realize. These principles that Solomon lays down are for all the day long. That phrase, all the day long, speaks of the character and it speaks of the nature of the Christian life. Again, everything mentioned in verse 17 and 19 is to be all the day long. What this means is that the Christian life is a life of continuance. It is a life of consistency. Christianity is not merely an occasional life of show. It's not what it's about. It's not about just putting on a show every now and then. But it is for all the day long, every single day. Whatever the circumstances, whatever the situation, the Christian life is for every day, all the day long. This tells us that Christianity is not something that is periodic. Again, it's continual. It is every day, all day long. It also tells us that Christianity and the principles laid down in God's Word must never, ever be thought of as something apart from our daily life. It's amazing how many who profess to be saved want the Bible, the principles of the Word of God, Christianity, to be set apart from their daily life. That's not Christianity. Christianity is every day. It's not just Sundays and then serve mammon the rest of the week. It's every day. This will help you from getting stuck. You have to realize that what we're talking about is for every single day and all the day long. So it must be viewed as the most vital part of our existence. God must be viewed as the most vital part of our existence. The principles laid down in God's Word must be viewed as the most vital part of our existence. Again, it's not just an act. Christianity does not just consist of a bunch of acts. That's the way a lot of people have been taught through the years. This is how Christians are to act. And you just perform several acts. Well, you can do that, but I promise you, you'll get stuck over and over and over again, because there's more to it than just being an act, than just doing a work here and a work there. Again, that's Pharisaism. That's all that is. And sad to say, that is alive and well today. It did not work in Jesus' day, and it will not work today. It doesn't work. Now, these words, all the day long, include all the details of our life. What is not included in that phrase, all the day long? I mean, what's not included in that phrase? Everything is included. Everything that can happen in a day is included in that phrase. All the day long. That means when we first open our eyes, we're to concern ourselves with godly principles. When we get out of bed in the morning, we're to concern our, this is all the day long. As we make our preparations for the day, that's included in all the day long. As you perform your daily task, as you perform your daily responsibilities, whatever they might be, all of these principles laid out in verse 17 and 19 are to be all the day long. They're to be carried over into our daily task. They're to be carried over into our daily responsibilities. They're to be carried over into all our comings and all of our goings. It includes all of our mingling with fellow men. It includes everything. There's nothing not included in this phrase, all the day long. It includes all your meals. It includes all your working hours. It includes all your recreation. It includes all your relaxation. It includes all the time you have to yourself. It includes when you're in private. It includes when you're in public. There's never a time when we can take a spiritual vacation. You cannot take a spiritual vacation and stay right with God. It's not possible. This is all the day long. It includes time at home. It includes all our time away from home. It includes the daytime hours. It includes the nighttime hours. It includes all the circumstances of a day. It includes all the events of any given day, whatever happens. Whether we like what happens or whether we don't like what happens, there are principles that you and I are to abide by all the day long. And if we would abide by those principles, we wouldn't get stuck in places where we shouldn't get stuck. All the day long would include all your successes of a day, what you identify as a success. What you and I identify as success may be a complete failure in God's eyes. But it also includes all our disappointments. Every day is filled with disappointments, but you better not get stuck there. You get stuck on a disappointment, you'll be there a long time. And you won't do anybody any good, you won't do yourself any good, and you'll destroy your relationship with the Lord. These principles must be carried on in all of our disappointment. Something happens that disappoints us. We must carry out these principles that are laid down in these two verses. It would include all of our gains. It would include all of our losses. Perhaps one day we gain materially. Perhaps another day we lose everything. There's still principles to be followed. You lose everything, that doesn't give you an excuse to take a spiritual vacation. It includes all our joys. It includes all of our sorrows. This is what I mean when I say that it must be included in Christianity is an everyday life. Not just an everyday life, but all the day long. It includes all the blessings of a day. When we feel that we've been blessed, which usually means we feel things are going our way. When we feel that we've been blessed, there are principles to abide by. God's word is still to be followed. When there are trials, when there are difficulties, all the day long. All the day long includes health. It includes sickness. Whether you're sick or whether you're healthy, God's principles are still to be followed. Christianity is still to be carried out. All the day long concerns all of our feelings and all of our moods. Your mood swings does not allow you to take a spiritual vacation. You need to stay right with God. And this, I'm telling you, this will keep you from getting stuck. And if you're already stuck, it'll keep you from staying stuck. If you just follow these principles that Solomon lays down, which we'll get to here in a minute. So never forget that the course that is prescribed here in verse 17 and 19 is for all the day long. It is for all the day long. And it will benefit you all the day long. All the day long. You can have a disappointment come your way in a day, and you can spend the rest of the day stuck there, if that's what you want to do. And you'll probably spend tomorrow stuck there too. You don't have any idea of the blessings that you've lost by getting stuck. By getting stuck. You have no idea of the opportunities that you've lost by getting stuck. And the common response is nobody understands what I'm going through. It's no excuse to take a spiritual vacation. Whatever it is that you're going through. You take a spiritual vacation, you will be stuck. So let's look at some of the things that Solomon lays down. And again, these are for all the day long. First thing he says in verse 17 is, let not thine heart envy sinners. This goes back to our last series that we preached about victorious living. Victorious living has everything to do with the heart. Not getting stuck also has everything to do with the heart. Whether you want to admit it or not, when you and I get stuck, we have a heart problem. We have a heart problem. And many people don't want to admit that, but that's the fact. You have a heart problem. Now notice what it says. It says, let not. That means do not allow. Do not allow this to happen to you. Do not allow thine heart. So this is a personal responsibility. Do not allow thine heart to envy sinners. Do not allow your heart to become focused upon the wrong object. Because when you do, you're stuck. You're stuck. And do not allow the heart to concentrate on that which will weaken you spiritually. When you are fixated with a situation, you need to ask yourself, is this helping me spiritually? And if you're honest, the answer is no. It is not helping me. It is not causing me to draw closer to God. I cannot get stuck here. Let not thine heart envy sinners. Allowing our hearts and minds to, and our hearts and minds go together. And we'll get more on the mind down the road in a few weeks. But allowing our hearts and minds to stray from God and become focused on other things. And may I say, we allow our hearts and minds to stray from God. We allow that to happen. And when we do that and we allow other things, it could be an event that happened. It could be something we thought that happened. But when we allow other things to become the emphasis, when we allow other things to become the priority and the central point, we're stuck. We're stuck. Somebody does you wrong, and perhaps they have done you wrong, but you allow that to become the emphasis in your thinking. You allow that to become the priority in your thinking. You allow that to become the central point. You are stuck. And you're not helping yourself spiritually. And your heart's not right with God. Let not thine heart envy sinners. That is, do not get focused on the wrong thing. That's getting stuck. Secondly, notice verse 17. But, which in contrast to allowing our hearts to be focused upon the wrong thing, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. This is foundational. It's foundational for living for the Lord. It is foundational for not getting stuck. May I say, the fear of the Lord is an inward condition of the heart. It is an inward condition of the heart. And it is both the result of keeping our hearts focused upon the right things, and it is also the way to keep our hearts focused upon the right things. But be thou in the fear of the Lord. It's a heart condition. It means that there is a reverence for God in our hearts. It means that there is an awe for God which is in our hearts. That requires two things. This reverence and this awe requires two things. It requires a proper view of God, and it requires a proper view of ourselves. And may I say, when you and I get stuck, when we get stuck in an emotion, we don't have a proper view of ourselves, because now it's all about me. That's an improper view of yourself. Reverence for God is a proper view of God, a proper view of ourselves. This fear of the Lord is accompanied by a childlike trust in the Lord. This childlike trust in the Lord would include submission to God. It would include loving obedience to God. It would include a humble adoration of God. And we see here that every day and all the day long, we are to reverence God. Every day and all the day long, we are to stand in awe of God. Every day and all the day long, we are to trust Him. We are to submit to Him. We are to obey Him. We are to adore Him. I'm telling you, this will keep you from getting stuck. If you do that all the day long, you won't get stuck somewhere where you shouldn't get stuck. Notice, again, verse 17. Notice very carefully. It does not say, fear the Lord all the day long. That's not what it says. Though we are to do that. We are to fear the Lord all the day long. But that's not what it says. It does not say, fear the Lord all the day long. It goes further than that. It's deeper than that. He says, be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Now that word be speaks of a condition of our heart. This is what's most important, is the condition of our heart. So this is not merely an act, fear the Lord. This isn't merely an act. This is a condition. Be thou in the fear of the Lord. And if we don't want to get stuck, We've got to keep ourselves in a right condition. It also speaks of a position. Again, notice that word in. Be thou in the fear of the Lord. So it is a condition, it is a position. It is not merely an act. Now this fear of the Lord, and we're to be in, I believe will have an influence upon us. It will pull us. To be in the fear of the Lord, to be in, is to be enclosed. Enclosed in the fear of the Lord. Again, this is speaking of a heart condition. It is to be submerged with the fear of the Lord. Again, this is a condition, not merely an act. I've heard many people say, I've tried to do all the right things, and this is what happens. Have you kept yourself in a right condition? That's more important than the acts. Because if you keep yourself in the right condition, the acts will follow. But you must keep yourself in a right condition. This again gets back to Matthew chapter 5. Our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. This is something that's inward. So our spiritual condition, our spiritual state, is more important than the spiritual act. And by saying that, we are in no way demeaning spiritual acts. But we need to realize what is most important in my life, what is most important in your life, is your heart being in a right condition, you being in a right spiritual state. And if you are in a right condition and you are in a right spiritual state, that will keep you from getting stuck. You won't get stuck if you keep yourself in a right condition. Being in the fear of the Lord speaks of something that is constant. Speaks of something that is consistent. The fear of the Lord is the acknowledgement of God. So to be in the fear of the Lord is to have a constant and continual acknowledgement of God. And if we are constantly and continually acknowledging God all the day long, you're not going to get stuck. It's when we fail to acknowledge God, get our eyes off God, get our eyes on ourselves, get our eyes on the wrong that everybody has done to us, that's when you get stuck. And you waste your life. You waste your life in a mud hole. That's where many live. That's where many of God's people live. They live in a mud hole. They're stuck there. They've been stuck there for years. That's no way to live. That's no way for a child of God to live. The fear of the Lord, we read in Psalm 111 and verse 10, is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says it is the beginning of knowledge. So it seems to me, that being so, if we are in the fear of the Lord, that means that we live in the sphere of heavenly wisdom, we live in the sphere of heavenly knowledge, and I believe that'll keep us from getting stuck. If we live in the sphere, if we live in the realm of spiritual wisdom and spiritual knowledge, it's going to be pretty hard to get stuck. We read in Proverbs 14 and verse 27, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. That being said, to be in the fear of the Lord means that we are constantly and consistently drawing from the fountain of God. And if we are constantly and consistently drawing from the fountain of God, that enables us to depart from the traps that lead to separation and alienation from God and that lead to spiritual destruction. Be thou in the fear of the Lord. Again, this speaks of a condition, not just an act. We read in Proverbs 8 and verse 13 that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way. So to be in the fear of the Lord, to live there, is to be constantly and consistently hating evil, hating pride, hating that which is against God. And if we hate it, it's going to be hard to get stuck there. We'll depart from it. But again, many live in the mud hole. We read in Nehemiah 5 and verse 15 that the fear of the Lord kept Nehemiah from doing what others did. And being in the fear of the Lord is to be in such a spiritual condition that your life is not governed by what others do. No matter what they do, no matter how much wrong they do to you, your life is not to be governed by what they do to you. They may lie about you. They may tell all kinds of things that aren't so. They may treat you very wrongly. But your life is not to be governed by what they do. The fear of the Lord will not allow us to have our lives governed by others. But that's what happens. When somebody we either wrongs us or we think they've wronged us, we get stuck there. And that now begins to govern our lives. We come to church, that's all we think about. You don't worship. You're governed by whatever happened. And this can be just about anything. Don't get stuck there. The fear of the Lord, being in the fear of the Lord, that heart condition will keep us from getting stuck. We read in Genesis 22 and 12, because of the fear of the Lord, Abraham did not withhold from God. But that fear of the Lord caused Abraham to willingly offer his son. So to be in the fear of the Lord all the day long is to be in such a spiritual condition, to be in such a spiritual state that we are willing to surrender to God. And you won't get stuck if you let go of it. You won't get stuck if you let go of it and just surrender it to God. And the fear of God will cause you to do that. But many people, they're going to hold on, and they have no intention of letting go of it. This has now become their life. They've been stuck there for 10 years, 15 years, and this is who they are now. That's sad. That's truly sad that we can get stuck to such a degree. But it happens. It happens all the time. Again, consider carefully those words, let not. Do not allow thine heart to envy sinners. But, on the other hand, instead of allowing your heart to envy sinners and falling into the ways of carnal man, be thou, individual responsibility in the fear of the Lord. And then he adds, and do this all the day long. Do this all the day long. Not just every now and then. This is to be our condition. This is to be our state. And I'm telling you, it'll keep you from getting stuck. Thirdly, verse 19, hear thou, my son. Hear thou, my son. I believe that being in the fear of the Lord, living there, being in that condition, being in that state, we are now in a position, and we are now in a condition where we can hear God, where we can hear the Lord. Keep yourself in such a position, in such a condition all day long. Keep yourself in that condition where you can hear God. Keep yourself in that position where you can hear God. How many have told me through the years, well, I'm not convicted about that. It's black and white in the Word of God. But they're not convicted. I feel no conviction. You know why? One of two reasons. Either you're dead spiritually, or you're in such a spiritual condition and state, you're not able to hear God. And that's how people get stuck. When you get in a state where you're not able to hear God, you're going to get stuck and you're going to stay there a long time. Lord is always speaking. He's always speaking. And unlike you and I, He always has something to say. And what he says is always needful. It's always necessary. What he says is always for our benefit. Always. But the problem is, many times we're not in a position and condition to hear and to receive what he says. We read in Isaiah 1 and verse 2, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken." We read, Samuel said in 1 Samuel 3 and verse 9, he said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." We ought to say that every day. We ought to say that several times throughout the day. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. I'm listening. But many times we're not in a condition, we're not in a state to listen. How many times people will come to church and they'll say, "I don't get a thing out of it." No, you don't, because you're not in a condition and a position to get anything out of it. But instead they want to blame the preacher, and then they'll go talk to somebody else who's in the same condition that they are. "You know, I don't get anything out of his preaching either." Pretty soon there's seven or eight people. They don't get anything out of the preacher's preaching. And maybe perhaps the problem is with the preacher. That can happen. I'm quite aware of that. But it is also very highly likely that people are just not in a condition and in a state to hear and to receive the Word of God. The psalmist declared in Psalm 85 and verse 8, "I will hear what the Lord will speak." We need to have a desire. We need to have a determination to listen to God all the day long. You know what? I've never had God tell me, and I don't think you have either. There I am stuck in the mud hole, and God says, "Dan, I want you to stay there for a while. Why don't you just stay there for a couple weeks? You truly have been wronged, and you just deserve to stay in that mud hole." The Lord doesn't say that. Listen to what God says. God says, "Get your eyes on me and get out of the mud. Draw close to me. Get out of the mud. Don't get stuck there." And again, we get stuck in a lot of places. God, that God would speak to you and I is an amazing thing. That's grace. That God would say anything to you and I is grace. That God would say anything to you and I is mercy. And God's always speaking. He's always speaking. He speaks to us by His works. He speaks to us through His providence. Things happen in our lives, and it's God speaking. It's God speaking to us. Look at the providence of God. It's not bad luck. It's not good luck. It's God speaking. He speaks through His providence. Then the Holy Spirit of God indwells within us. And the Spirit of God speaks. And every single time that I go in the wrong direction, if I'm listening, the Spirit of God is saying, "Don't go there. Don't go there." Every single time. Well, the Spirit didn't convict me. Again, it gets back to your condition and state. You weren't in a condition and state to feel the convicting power of the Lord. He, of course, speaks to us in His Word. Hear what God says. Hear what God says to you. And do this all the day long. When you get up in the morning, listen. Listen for the voice of God. As you prepare for your day, listen to God. It might change your preparations for a day. Just listen to what God says. As you perform your daily tasks, always have an ear open to what God is saying. as you mingle with your fellow man, listen. Listen to what God says. Don't get so caught up in human conversation that you do not listen to God. Listen to what He says. In recreation and relaxation, listen to God. Listen to God speak. You go on vacation, God doesn't. And you again, you shouldn't take a spiritual vacation. Listen to God. This is my time. It's always God's time. Listen. Listen to God. Time of success. Listen to God. God's just pouring material blessings upon you. You better stop and listen. When disappointment comes your way, stop and listen to what God has to say. Trials and difficulties. Listen. Listen. And if you say, I'm trying, but he's not speaking. You need to get in a right condition. You need to be in a right position to hear God. He's always saying something. You get in His Word, and God speaks. In times of joy, listen to God. Times of joy, it's when many depart from the Lord. God is saying, remember. Remember who gave you that. And you better look up and thank Him. Listen. Listen to God. Time of sorrow. Listen to God. Hear all the day long. It's amazed me through the years that God's people many times will listen very attentively to people who have no idea what they're talking about, but will not listen to omniscient God. Turn a deaf ear to omniscient God. People will listen to all kinds of foolishness and turn a deaf ear to omniscient God. People will listen to the philosophies of man and the deceits of the world and turn a deaf ear to the voice of God. They'll listen to that which will be destructive to them spiritually. And they'll turn a deaf ear to the voice of God. But our prescribed course is this. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And hear. Hear His voice. Hear what He says. Receive what He says. All the day long. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Why? Because it's there. It's there that you can hear God. That's where you can hear God. Being in the fear of the Lord. Being in that condition. Being in that position. I'm telling you, you listen to God. You get yourself in a condition where you can listen to God. This will keep you from getting stuck. Also, verse 19, and be wise. Now you'll notice, hear thou my son, and be wise. Wisdom is not apart from hearing God. That's where wisdom comes from. By listening to God. Hear and be wise. That is, be wise and believe what God says. Just believe what He says. Be wise and be affected. Be affected by what God says. When God speaks, that ought to affect us. That ought to have it ought to move us. Be wise and be affected by God. If you're not affected by the voice of God, there's no way you're wise. That would be a fool. Not to be affected by what God says. Be wise and yield and submit to what God says. God says, I want you to do this, and you do something else. That's not wisdom. That's foolishness. And that'll get you stuck. Hear and be wise. Do not resist what God says. Do not evade what God says. Do not attempt to twist what God says. Listen to God and be wise. Submit yourself to Him. That'll keep you from getting stuck. Lastly, verse 19, he says, be wise and guide thine heart in the way. Guide thine heart in the way. Now, guiding our heart is connected, first of all, by being in a proper position and condition, being in the fear of the Lord. Guiding our heart in the right way involves hearing what God says and acting upon what God says. That's wisdom. Be wise. And when you do that, you will guide your heart in the way. Being in the fear of the Lord and hearing the Lord and being wise gives guidance, gives direction for the heart. Notice verse 19. It is the way. That is, it's singular. It speaks of a particular way. It speaks of God's way. And every day and all the day long, there is the way of God. Every day. Every day there is the way of God. All day long there is the way of God. And you and I are to have our hearts guided in that way. If we go anywhere else, we're apt to get stuck. We're going to get stuck. Again, we need to guide our heart in the way. The world, of course, has its ways. And the world will whisper in your ear, you have every right to be angry. You ought to stay angry until they come to you and drop to their knees and apologize and beg and plead. You ought to stay angry. That's the world's way. That'll keep you stuck. Now, you can listen to that if that's what you want to do. If you want to live in the mud hole, go ahead and listen to that. Go ahead and follow that advice. Or you can listen to God and act upon what God says and have your heart guided in God's way and live a life of victory. It's as simple as that. The world has its ways, which are always contrary to God. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And it's easy to get stuck in those ways. Every day, all the day long, we can walk in God's way. We can walk in the way of faith. We can walk in the way of holiness. We can walk in the way of truth, in the way of peace. Every day and all the day long, be thou in the fear of the Lord. Because it's there that your heart won't envy sinners. It's there where you can hear what God says. You know, it's an amazing thing getting back to our heart envying sinners. It's a pretty foolish thing for a child of God to envy a sinner. I mean, how twisted does our heart have to be for you and I to envy the ungodly? That we have to be pretty twisted. But all the day long, hear what he says. Be wise. Believe what he says. Act upon what he says. That will enable you to receive guidance. And that will enable you to continue in His way. And as long as you continue in His way, guess what? You're not getting stuck. You're not going to get stuck in the mud hole. The only time I get stuck in the mud hole is when I don't do it His way. When I allow my thoughts to get away from His way. When I allow my vision to get away from His way. That's how people get stuck. You can blame you're getting stuck in anybody you want to. And you can spend your life doing that, but I guarantee you, you'll never get unstuck doing that. Never. You'll get unstuck by doing it God's way. It's the only way. So live your life all the day long, every day, not permitting your heart to go astray. Again, it gets back to our last series, Living a Victorious Life. That's the key. The key is keeping the heart right. That's the key. It's not to put on a show. It's to keep our hearts right. That's the key. That's the key to victorious living. That's the key to not getting stuck. Keep our hearts right. Live your life all the day long, every day in the fear of the Lord. Always listening to the voice of God. Being wise. Living under the guidance of God and persevering in the way of God. That'll keep you. That'll keep you from getting stuck. And if you are stuck, those are the things that'll get you unstuck. Also, nothing else. You know what people do that are stuck? There they are in the mud hole, and they want to pull as many people in that same mud hole with them. Don't go there. Don't go there. They're poison. They're dangerous people. When someone's stuck in the mud hole and they want to pull you in too, they're dangerous. You'd be wise to stay away from them. You'd be wise to keep distance between yourself and them. Because let me tell you, you may have a friend that's stuck in the mud, but if he or she wants to pull you in the mud, that's not a friend. That's not a friend. And I've noticed that through the years. People don't like to be in the mud hole by themselves. They want to bring in as many people as they can. God help us. We don't have to get stuck. And if you are stuck, you don't have to stay there. If you stay there, that's something you've chosen to do. Brother Jim, if you'd come.